Hello, I'm Jenny Powers Burton, and I will be reading to you from my book, Litzy and the Underground Railroad. This is the second book in the Litzy series. Litzy has found her sister, Megan. However, they've been orphaned by a cholera epidemic, and now Litzy struggles to provide for herself and her sister. Litzy has also become involved in the Underground Railroad. In this scene, we find the girls living in the barn attached to the home of Harriet Beecher Stowe. And Christmas is a few days away. Chapter 9, Christmas Reunion. The Christmas season was drawing near. I'd been able to save just a little bit from the money that I earned at Dr. Drake's, but not nearly enough for all the presents that I wanted to buy. I wanted to get Miss Harriet a few pens because she was forever losing hers, and her writing was so important for money for the family. I wanted to buy Megan a winter coat. She was outgrowing the one she had. Her sleeves just barely covered her clothes, and the bottom of the coat stopped just above her knees. It was getting so thin that she always shivered with cold. Sometimes the girls at school made fun of her. If I had enough money, I would fill both pockets with sweets. Megan loved all things sweet, but they were a rare treat for us. And for Eileen, I would get her a brand new dress. I had never seen her in a new dress. She was always wearing clothes that other people threw away. I wanted to give her a dress of her very own, but all that was just dreaming. I didn't have nearly enough money. Until one day on my way to Dr. Drake's office, I passed a store called Japs that sold wigs and brushes. A small sign in the corner of the window said, "We'll pay good money for hair. Inquire within." My hair was still flyaway, but it was long and thick. I hesitated to go in, afraid they would tell me they had no use for my hair. "I will never know if I don't ask," I thought. The woman behind the counter took one look at me and said, "Oh dear, oh my." I turned to leave. I didn't want to hear her next words asking me why I thought someone would want to buy my hair. "Don't go," she said quickly. "Are you willing to sell your hair?" "I would consider it," I answered. "We have a customer, an older woman, who's looking for hair just your shade. She needs a wig badly. I can pay you good money." "What's good money?" I asked.
$5.
I could not believe it when I heard myself say, "I'm afraid that's not enough."
"Would you sell it for $10? She said.
$10? I could buy all the presents for everyone and have money left over. Calmly, I said, "Yes, I think that will work. However, you must give me the money first and a bonnet to cover my hair after you cut it."
"Sit right down then," she said, as she handed me $10. She rummaged behind the counter for a pair of scissors. She found them and quickly started cutting large clumps of hair from my head without any kind of design in mind. A clump here and a clump there. When she announced she had had enough, I looked in the mirror and thought I was going to cry. But then, for some reason, it all seemed so funny. Hilarious, I laughed instead. I looked like Dan after those nasty people clipped his mane. My hair would grow back just like his did. I had money for presents, and an old lady somewhere had a new wig. I took my $10, put on my bonnet, and left the store smiling. And when I got to Dr. Drake's, he wondered why I was keeping my hat on, and I said, "Awfully cold today. Keeps me warm." That afternoon when I was at Dr. Drake's, Eileen came around to tell me that Mr. Burney said there would be a group of escaping slaves tonight, and they were arriving on Christmas night. There would be a lot of them, and we might have to ask the Beechers if we could use the wagon. I was sure that the Beechers would be agreeable, and I told Eileen I would pick her up at 8 Christmas night. Christmas Day dawned in Walnut Hills with gentle light and just a whisper of snow. I put Megan's present at the foot of our bed so she would see it when she woke up. She rolled over, rubbed away the sleep from her eyes, saw the box, and jumped out of bed.
"Is it for me?"
"It has your name on it, doesn't it?"
"Yes, but may I open it now?"
"Right now."
She tore away the ribbons and pretty wrapping paper and slowly opened the box. "Oh, Litzy, it's a new coat, a beautiful new coat. May I put it on?"
"That's what coats are for." Megan slipped into the coat. It was truly a lovely coat. Navy blue with red velvet on the sleeves and collar and shiny brass buttons marching down the front. It fit her perfectly. When she put her hands in the pockets, she found the sweets I'd put there. "Sweet," she exclaimed. "Lovely sweet, so perfect. And the coat is so warm, I'm never going to take it off. However did you get it?" "I will tell you someday," I said, as I adjusted my nightcap. "May I wear it now?" "No, not to gather the eggs and help clean the stall, silly. You must wear your old coat for that. But you may wear it when you go to Beecher's for Christmas breakfast." Megan jumped up and said, "Lizzie, you are the best sister a girl could have." And she gave me a big hug around the neck. But as she did so, my nightcap came tumbling off and lay alone on the floor. Megan screamed, "Lizzie, where's your beautiful hair?" By now it probably is happily on the head of an old lady. "How did it get on an old lady's head?" "I sold my hair to a wig maker."
"Whatever for?"
"Money. Money for Christmas presents." "Lizzie," she said, "you are the very best."
"But I don't have anything for you," she said, looking up at me upset and embarrassed.
As she stood among the paper and ribbons in her new coat, she said, "I have an idea. I could wind the ribbons in what is left of your hair, and I think I could make it look pretty good so that most people would not notice how short it is. Could that be my Christmas present to you?"
"If you think you can," I said, "go ahead and try. Presents come in many forms."
And Megan wound the red and green ribbons carefully through my hair. Even as a little girl, she could work wonders with her hands. It really did hide the shortness of it. Actually, it looked very festive. "Merry Christmas, Lizzie," she said.
"Merry Christmas, Megan," I said.
"And Merry Christmas, Dan. Merry Christmas, Bossy. Merry Christmas, Cat. Merry Christmas, Chickens. Merry Christmas, Owls. Merry Christmas, Swallows," we called at the top of our voices.
Morning chores do not stop just because it is Christmas. We still had to feed Dan and Bossy, clean the stalls, and gather eggs. The whisper of snow began to increase, and as we did our chores, it softly covered the roof of the barn, gathered in the corner of windows, and swirled around the chimney of the house. When we finished up, while the many bells of Cincinnati rang out with Christmas joy, we crossed the snow-covered yard to the house, Megan in her new coat, and I in my ribbons. As we entered the house, ready to help with breakfast, we were surrounded by the smells of Christmas kitchen, roasting turkey, sage and onion, mince pies, apple pies, cranberries, chestnut stuffing, cookies, and cinnamon. We peeked through the kitchen door and could see the dining room table set with the best china and an evergreen centerpiece dancing down the middle. Candles were everywhere, and in the parlor, a great fire roared in the fireplace, and dinner plates sat nearby for warming. Mysteriously, the doors to Reverend Beecher's study were closed. I had never seen them closed before. His study was always open to everyone.
"Merry Christmas, O'Donnell girl," said Miss Harriet. "And don't you look like Christmas itself with your hair all in ribbons. Lizzie, your hair looks lovely."
"Thank you," I said with a smile and a nudge to Megan.
"Miss Harriet," I said, "I have a small gift for you." And I handed her my package.
"Thank you so much," she said. And when she opened it and found the pens inside, she was delighted.
"Do you know how often I need these?" she asked.
"Yes, ma'am. I watched you when you were writing. Your writing is so important. I thought you could use them. Merry Christmas." She smiled and gave me another Christmas hug. After we all sat down and had a special Christmas breakfast with pancakes and bacon and eggs and sausages, Uncle Sam Foote announced that it was time for the Christmas parade.
"Whatever could that be?" I asked Megan, as they all followed Uncle Sam's instructions. Led by Reverend Beecher with his fiddle, there followed James Beecher with a tin trumpet and Aunt Elizabeth with a clarinet, Miss Harriet with a tin kettle, Thomas with a bass drum, Aunt Esther with a rattle, Miss Catherine with a whistle, and Miss Dutton with spoon and pan. Mr. Stowe with bells, and Isabel with a tambourine, Mina with pot covers, and Henry with a bugle. "You join too," they said, and handed us several spoons to bang together. Megan and I joined in, at first shy, but we quickly got in the spirit of it all,
and banged our spoons together, following the parade around the kitchen, through the dining room, on into the parlor, out to the snow-covered front porch, and back again. What noise we made as we played our instruments and giggled at the idea of it all. We sang Good King Wenceslas and God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen and whatever else came to mind. When it was all over, Uncle Samuel wished everyone good fires, plenty of apples and nuts, not to mention mince pies and roast turkeys, long lives, and merry evenings. And now, announced Reverend Beecher, is the time. The time for what? They all called. The time to open my study doors. I want everyone, and I mean everyone, not just the children, to close their eyes. Are you ready? James, you're peeking. We can't open the doors until everyone has their eyes closed. Ready? Now you may look. I opened my eyes, and there in the study, right in the center of the room, was a most beautiful Christmas tree. I'd never seen a Christmas tree. It stood there waiting to be admired, with its top climbing right to the ceiling, and its branches loaded with paper ornaments and popcorn and cranberries. It was hung all over with candy and small cakes, toys, nuts, pen wipes, small books, dolls, and toy drums, and an envelope for each of us. I thought I saw the tree take a bow. And then the Reverend Beecher distributed all the gifts. In my envelope was a silver dollar, and there was one for Megan, too. And we received cakes and nuts and pen wipes. What fun everyone had opening gifts. It was lovely altogether. As things became a bit quieter, I took Miss Harriet aside, and I asked if Eulene and I could use the wagon that night, as we had work for Mr. Burney, and it could be a lot of people. It has been snowing so much, and it's getting deeper, Litzy. Why don't you take the sleigh that Mr. Perkins has loaned us? The snow will be just right, and I think it will be easier on Dan. Thank you, Miss Harriet, I said with a smile. Sounds like a good idea. I've always wanted to ride in a sleigh. What a better time than Christmas. The rest of the morning and early afternoon, Megan and I helped in the kitchen preparing for Christmas dinner. What a menu it was! Roast turkey, cranberries, mashed potatoes, biscuits, green beans, applesauce, cherry pie, mince pie, and Christmas cake. It was all delicious. I think it was the best Christmas I had ever had. This is Jenny Burton. I've been reading from my book, Litzy and the Underground Railroad.